Welcome back to Project Independence in You, and I am your host for today, Rebecca Miller. Our co-host is Otto Loos.
My nap is over.
You ready?
You ready, Otto?
I'm ready. We have some special visitors today, too, because it's Christina's birthday. We've got Paula Yule. Paula is the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Services for the Aging. Welcome, Paula. I know you didn't realize you'd be on the show.
What a nice surprise that I'm on the show. Good morning, everybody.
We're all here to wish Christina a happy birthday, but also speak with Antonio Petrish about the women's suffrage movement. Fascinating. First, great. Welcome to Project Independence and You. I hear you've been on the show before.
Yes, thank you. I'm happy to be back.
Well, it's great to have you.
You know, I would like to just make a comment. You don't realize it, but you were on here in 2014, and you had a big influence on me because I've since encouraged my daughters and granddaughters to vote, and I stressed because I learned a lot from that day, and there was a movie that was discussed during that whole thing. I Endured Angels came up, and I've since gotten a lot of people to watch that. So you had an impact.
Wonderful.
I just want you to know that.
That's so nice to hear. Thank you.
It was.
And since that movie has come out, the movie Suffragette had come out a couple of years ago. And that also, that dealt with the British suffrage movement, but that too was very interesting and very accurate, the way it depicted the struggle. So good. I'm glad. Thank you.
No, it was, and I still more or less harassed them to vote,
That's the more. That's the important thing.
Definitely a lot of
today.
People fought very hard to get the right, and should take advantage of it.
Right. And rights are threatened everywhere. You know, still today, rights can be threatened. So it's a good idea to be vigilant about it.
There was a thing that just came out yesterday or the day before about a bunch of letters that were found.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, Susan B.
It's
Anthony.
A great discovery. I wish I could find a box like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
Wonderful, yes, a wonderful discovery.
But that's probably good material for another book.
Maybe.
So let's talk a little bit about what drew you to this topic. Where did all the interest come from with the women's suffrage movement?
I have always been interested in it, but I never really paid a lot of attention to it until I started doing research for another book on women. It was called More Than Petticoats, Remarkable New York Women. And I wrote that in around 2000. And while I was doing the research, I kept discovering all these suffragists. That book was not about suffragists, but once I finished that and I finished another one on Connecticut women, I just started doing research on the suffragists, and I also discovered that many of the most influential came from Long Island and the New York area. That really whetted my interest to keep going on it, and I just think it's a fascinating story. It's, to me, of never-ending interest because it resonates today with voting and with women's rights and with everyone's rights. You know, the price of liberty is vigilance.
Yes.
So we always have to be vigilant that we protect our rights and that we exercise them. But it was just fun reading about it and writing about it. And then, as you say, things like that, where you discover a box of letters from 150 years ago that people didn't even know was there. It's very exciting.
Are you familiar with the New York Historical Society that they're going to be having? I went to visit last week, actually, with my daughter, hoping, the exhibit that's going to be opening, I think, the end of April.
They had said March, but now they've pushed it to the end of April.
Well, I was there in March.
Yes,
I was
there in March, too.
Oh, that's funny. But I went to see Dolly Madison's dress, and it's very interesting, the New York Historical Society. And I just happen to like colonial, beginning of women's history, really, back to the early days. And there's a wonderful exhibit about, the early first ladies, and it was Dolly Madison and Martha Washington, and how important they were to the birth of our country, and how they helped the development, and you don't ever see that. And I remember reading Dolly Madison's biography when I was like in third or fourth grade, and they had her dress, and all her china. And it was just so, I brought my daughter because she's very mm-hmm. much interested in the suffragette movement. But I was hoping to see that
yes,
exhibit. So it
had,
is coming, I
yes,
guess, right?
April 29th, I think, is the official opening. It
that
had been scheduled for March.
Right.
But when we talk about the women's suffrage movement and we talk about Seneca Falls in 1848 as mm-hmm. being sort of the quasi beginning of it, it actually wasn't, because women had been asking for the right to mm-hmm. equal rights
right.
for centuries before
right.
that.
Right.
So,
very
like Dolly Madison and mm-hmm. Abigail Adams,
right.
and those are the ones we know the most about, but certainly there's been many, many women who have
right.
been asking for equal rights
right.
way before then.
Very interesting. I can't wait to go.
It took a long time.
I'm looking
yeah,
forward to it.
Me too. It's the whole
looking
floor.
Looking forward to it. It is. It's very
yeah.
it's beautiful.
I think wonderful. We should give out a gold star here, too. One of the things I read is that you were given an award, a major award, during Women's History Month in 2016, a Trailblazer
yes,
Award.
Yes, Trailblazer Award.
Right. And, mm-hmm. you know, you should
absolutely.
Get
that's
some
excellent.
Credit for that,
right.
I believe. So
congratulations.
Thank
here
you.
We go.
Thank
right.
you. Delia DeRidgie Whitten gave me, from her district, the Trailblazer Award.
Right.
And I just think it's important that we, again, keep everyone's attention on it and keep talking okay. about it. And it's a little-known subject. Some people don't even know what the word suffrage means. I have people say, what does that mean, suffrage? And it just means, basically it means a petition or a prayer. That's one of the definitions. But we also, it's used to just be a vote. Suffrage is the vote. So it could be male suffrage, it could be kid suffrage.
Right.
But it's what I concentrate on, of course, is women's suffrage.
Well, I was happy to read in preparing for this that there's a book called The Suffragettes, which indicates that there were a lot of men also who fought, if
yes.
you will, to get women the right to vote.
Yes, my friend Brooke Kroger has written that book. It's coming out in September. And we do overlook the fact that many men, first of all, the men were the ones who could vote. So if the men didn't vote for it, we wouldn't have it. But many men were very supportive. James Lees Laidlaw was the president of the Men's Women's Suffrage League throughout the country, actually. He lived in Sands Point. He and his wife were very active in the suffrage movement. But yes, the men, and you know, the men who did support suffrage were quite often ostracized and criticized. And when they marched with the women, people would yell at them and say, you trainer, you know, you turncoat. So it wasn't always easy for them. They
yeah,
had a lot
there was
of
a show on WLIW, you know, the public thing, about the vote being pushed over finally. I guess it was actually after the 19th Amendment was approved, and they were the 36, they needed 36 states out of the 48. And
well, it's an amendment, so it has to be ratified.
Right.
By 36 out of 48, because we had 48 states then, three quarters of the states. That's what you need for amendment to the National Constitution.
Right. So back in 1919... we only had 48 states, and
mm-hmm.
apparently Tennessee was the
Tennessee was the, yes, the tipping point. Tennessee was the last state. If Tennessee wasn't won, then they would have had to go back and do the whole process again. So it was a very big, and there was a lot of attention on the state of Tennessee. And that's the Harry Byrne story. I don't know if you know the Harry Byrne story.
No. Well, is he was he the governor?
No, Harry Byrne was the youngest man ever elected to the House of Representatives in Tennessee. He was 24.
Oh, and he changed his story because his mother?
Yes. And
right.
There were 48 for and 48 against, but he voted for. At the last minute, he changed his vote. And he said the reason he did that was because he got a note from his mother.
Right.
And his mother told him to vote for suffrage. So,
personally, his mother
I think,
is actually a major influence.
Yeah. Yes, but I think right. Harry yeah. was probably politically savvy, and he knew he was the last one being asked.
Right.
Excuse me, and he knew that if he voted for suffrage, he would be a hero forever, which he is.
Right.
So I guess I'm a little cynical, but I think maybe he knew all that. But we don't care. We love
right.
him anyway.
Right.
Well, there were a lot of women from the New York area that went down
yes,
to Tennessee at that time.
They did.
Right.
Yes, and they sat in the gallery and they were watching to see how many votes were cast.
I mean, if you think about it, it's really unbelievable that women couldn't vote back then.
Yes.
And it was a racial thing, obviously, as well. They combined, what I'm reading, the fact that they were fighting to get black men the right to vote, and they didn't want to tag on women because they thought it would pull that part of it away. And
they were fighting to get freedom for black men, abolition. They fought for many years for abolition. So when the slaves were freed and the men could vote and they couldn't, it was understandable, I guess, at the time. It was, in our way we think of it now, it's not permissible to have such racist leanings. And I understand it. You know, it's a very dicey subject. People ask me, was there racism? And yes, there was, because they were so upset with the fact, especially after the 14th Amendment, they really thought they would be able to vote from that amendment. And then the 15th Amendment only gave African American men the right to vote. So women, both races, were upset. So there was a racial component there in the history.
It's interesting, I mean, without getting too political, with the Women's March 100 years later going on Washington and all the marches that are going on today, and, you know, we're looking at the 100th year anniversary of the suffrage movement, and here we are again marching and coming together to kind of push for our rights.
Right.
There's still some inequality, some inequities, yes, that we have to fight for.
Right.
This year is the anniversary of New York State women getting the vote, because New York State women won it in 1917. So this is our centennial.
Right, this is our centennial.
Right. And that was because one of the reasons they wanted New York was because New York had the most representatives. They had 47 representatives in the House of Representatives. So if New York State women could vote in 1918, they could vote for representatives who would then vote for the amendment to the National Constitution. And an amendment to the New York State Constitution only requires, not that it's only, but it requires legislation being passed. It doesn't have to be something that's ratified by anybody, just by the electorate. So finally, when the electorate voted in 1917 for women to vote, then in 1918, they tried to tip the balance in favor of the National Amendment, and that's exactly what happened.
Fascinating.
You know, if you look at the town in North Hempstead, there's a lot of women that are in politics in a town in North Hempstead. If the supervisor, Judy Bosworth, and you
the
have
deputy supervisor,
you have council
councilwomen,
we have senior councilwomen, we have older council people too, as you know. And maybe we could talk a little bit about that when we come back. We have to take a quick break. This is Project Independence in You, and we've been talking with Antonia Petrisch, and we will be right back.